Blog Talk Radio.
Let the words God hates offering grace. I wanna be goodness of the Lord is the kindness of the Lord. With every breath we take, the gift of life and grace, the power of the Lord is the meekness of the Lord. Who bore humanity, with great humility, let your mercy thank you. child, God. Listen to my prayer from the end of the earth. Oh,
tonight. I just want to say praise the Lord, we're moving ever so forward into the new world order. We're getting ready to go to war with Iran. Excuse me for 1 second. And I've been preaching this for the last 10 years. If anyone reads my Facebook post or back when MySpace was on, I told people they were going to do Venezuela. They haven't achieved Venezuela yet. They tried this year, but didn't work out too good because they don't want another war in the jungle because Vietnam didn't work out too well. But they were going to go after Iran. Aaron Russo preached about that back about 15 years ago. When he talked to Nelson Rockefeller that was before 9/11 in 2001 when he told him there was going to be a big event. And the ultimate goal is, of course, to chip everybody. We don't have to get into microchips and stuff like that, but they're getting ready to do Iran, if you're paying attention to the corporate news media. And the Federal Reserve is in full steam ahead. And once they start Iran cannot strike the United States. So what they're going to do, Iran is going to attack Israel. Israel, God will not allow it. God will intervene. Israel will, of course, attack the nuclear reactors in Iran that are made by Russia and supported by Russia, because we know Russia has built most of the nuclear reactors in Iran. And the Red Army, as prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, will invade from the north. And the Red Army, Moscow, which is Moscow, will come down, and the Antichrist will step in, and there'll be peace. And everyone will say, this is the guy of peace, and, you know, he solved all the world's problems because we were heading into World War III, and everyone's going to believe him. And then the Roman Vatican Church, the false prophet will rise out of the Roman Catholic Church, and, then we'll enter into the tribulation, and everyone's going to, you know, love the Antichrist and the false prophet, and Elijah and Moses will come back, as foretold in the Bible also, in the book of Jeremiah. They'll be preaching the gospel, warning everybody, and they'll be slain in the streets for all the world to see live on TV because, you know, we live in a time now where you can see anything that's happening live around the world, and the world will cheer at it. And then the Antichrist is going to break the peace treaty with Israel, Well, what's going to happen then? He's going to walk into the temple that's already being built right before our very eyes. All you got to do is look it up on the internet. And we already know Donald Trump declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And he's going to walk into the temple and declare himself God, and he's going to perform a lot of miracles. And then during the last half hour of the tribulation, we will be raptured out of here. You know, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those left behind, you know, it's back to works, folks, back to works. That's simple as that. You can get saved during the last half hour of the tribulation, but you're going to have to work for it. But right now we're saved. We're in a dispensation of grace. And all you have to do is, like you always say on your show, is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for us and died on the cross and shed his blood for us. And God sacrificed his only son, and he died for our sins, and all of us are sinners. We know that. None of us are perfect. Doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, what lifestyle you live, what background you come from, rich, poor, whatever. You know, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved as of right now. But let me tell you something. When the time of the Gentiles is over, and God then turns back to the Jew, let me tell you something, people. It's back to works, you know, faith by works. And you're going to have to work to get saved. And even the very elect, as the book of Revelation says, the 144,000 that are sealed that can't be touched by the Antichrist will be deceived. And a lot are going to receive the mark of the beast. Is that a microchip in your right hand or forehead? We see, you know, all you got to do is do your own research. You know, you put a microchip in your right hand, and, you know, they already got the barcodes going on, and, you know, you buy and sell with your right hand, right? And all this is all playing out right before our eyes, and things are moving very rapidly. They're moving rapidly. You know this saying, wow, it just seems like last week we were talking. Look how time is flying. Time is going so fast, isn't it? You know? I mean, just think, it was just a couple of years ago. Don't you remember? We made friends, and, you know, look how fast time is going by. And time is, everything's speeding up. It's speeding up to a fast rate. And everyone's so busy. We don't have time for anything. We're not paying attention. And the devil loves it, you know. And look, we know who the Antichrist is. He's been groomed. All right. He's already there. He's almost ready to take his place. And a lot of people don't realize this. And if you're paying attention and you read the signs, symbols, and symbolism and understand the times in which we live in today, which is the title of my show, not trying to promote my show, but if you understand those times in which we live in today, we're living in the end times, and the Bible tells you, you know the season. And I believe that the rapture will occur in October, because that's when the Feast of Tabernacles happened. And that's when Jesus was actually born, was in October, not December 25th. No, that's a Roman pagan Catholic holiday. He was not born on December 25th. If anyone reads their Bible and understands, you know, Jesus was not born on December 25th, okay? Simple as that. But that's a whole other show. And I could go verse for verse for you and prove to you he was not born on December 25th. But what I'm trying to say is that we see what's happening now. We see America so divided right now. We see it. We're so divided. We are in a spiritual war in this country. And America is the last stand on earth. And when the gospel is preached to the last one on earth, that's it. God is going to say enough. And that's it. We're going to be out of here. Well, you know, he's going to call it. Now, but, you know, and then we get into pre-trib, post-trib, and all that. And look, all you have to do is read what Paul said. Rejoice in your tribulation. Simple as that. And and you will be here during the last half hour of the tribulation. Now, all you have to do is a great documentary. I'm going to tell you, God's Rainbow Ministries, and for your listeners out there to watch a great documentary that takes you verse by verse, compares scripture by scripture, is by Pastor Anderson. It's called After the Tribulation. After the Tribulation. You can look it up on YouTube. It's a documentary that came out about 8 years ago. Pastor Anderson from California. I had him on my podcast show about 2015 it was. Pastor Anderson, he talks about the church, how, you know, and he talks about the tribulation and how we're going to be here during the last half hour of the tribulation. It's a powerful documentary. Alex Jones, my friend Alex Jones, he sponsored that also. You know, from Infowars.com. I speak to Alex Jones all the time via email. I'd like to get him on my podcast, actually, sometime. But he's busy just like everyone else. But, you know, I support him. And what I'm trying to say is this. The good documentary for those of you who want to know about the tribulation and the rapture is After the Tribulation. Look it up on YouTube by Pastor Anderson. Very powerful documentary. Take 2 hours of your time and watch it, because if you know your Bible, and they'll walk you through it verse by verse and explain it to you like no preacher ever has before. And he's not no 501c3 church sellout, okay? He's not one of those sellouts, you know, or one of those pastors that say, you know, that drives around in a brand new Cadillac and says, you know, and tells the poor guy, you need to donate more money to the church. Meanwhile, the poor guy's driving around with bald tires and oil leaking from his car. No, he's not one of those guys, okay? And he's a real Christian, and it's a powerful documentary. But, you know, the Federal Reserve, the central the money changers, and we know about the money changers. The only time Jesus used force in his entire ministry is when he whipped the money changers out of the temple. He whipped them out of the temple because he saw what they were doing, okay? So the Federal Reserve, the central banking cartels, the central bankers that have been funding all the wars around the world since the Rothschild family began. Andrew Jackson was against the Rothschilds. They tried to kill him. That was in 1835. Just do your history. Do your due diligence. But what all I'm trying to say is that, amen, we're moving full speed ahead. I honestly believe, in my opinion, within the next 4 to 5 years, we're going to see some events. And look, you heard about the earthquakes out in California, right? More, and that's not what the corporate, and look, that wasn't just in California, by the way. They had earthquakes in Washington, Peru, Argentina. You know, you saw the floods in America this spring, right? The worst floods ever in history. How many tornadoes have we had this spring in America? Would you want to go number for number? You want to start from when they started recording the numbers of tornadoes? You want to hear the numbers? How they've increased? Look, like the earthquakes in diverse places, rumors of wars. All these things are coming. It's coming our way. And like I always say on your show, brother, is look, if I'm a liar and if Jesus Christ is a liar, you know what? You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose, but you got everything to gain. You know? You understand where I'm coming from?
That's so true. That's so true. Well, listen, Joe, I'm gonna do my first message, and so sit back and listen and enjoy.
I'm gonna listen via the chat room right now because I gotta charge up my phone. So I'm gonna listen on the internet. I'm in your chat room. So I'm going to go ahead and listen now because I support your podcast, okay?
All righty. Okay, my brother. Thanks for calling
all
in.
All right. You're welcome. And please call into my show again. That was very nice of you to call into my show also the last night. I respect you for doing that. You kept your promise. And, you know, if we're not a man of our word, that that's what's so important. And women of their word, too. If we don't keep our word and our promises, we know every man is a liar. The Bible says so. At best, you know, we're vanity. But at the same time, you know, it's good that you kept your word, and I'll continue to support your podcast, and hopefully likewise vice versa with mine.
Oh, most definitely, Joe. Okay. Like I said, go ahead and plug your show. Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Usually I do a show Thursdays and Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Understanding the Times in Which We Live In Today. Phone number 657-383-0616, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. That's my real name. And by the way, for the person that threatened me last night on your show, he never showed up at Gold's Gym, by the way.
I didn't think so. Yeah.
Just wanted a little humor at the end.
He's in Canada. It would be kind of hard to show up at your Gold's Gym.
Yeah, amen to that. And I want to say hello to Tony, too, the gentleman that preached last night on your podcast. That was a powerful message, good voice, good speaking voice. So keep up the good work, brother. I'll continue listening via the Internet, okay?
Okay, God bless.
All right, take care, brother.
Bye-bye. All righty. Well, let's see. Let's get into the first message. Okay. Oh, well, before you do that, let me say a prayer. Okay. Lord Jesus, we look to you on the throne beside your Father in heaven and ask that you be Lord of peace in our hearts. Help us to overcome ourselves again and again and remain at peace, Lord. Then your will be done in your disciples. A power of peace may be around us that goes out into the world, Lord, and your name may be glorified on earth. For you are Lord of peace, and we will await you. In difficult times, faith and hope will take hold in our hearts even more firmly, Lord, to glory, Lord Jesus. For you will suddenly come according to your promises as one who does God's will on earth among all people. And we pray this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's get into the first message. It's brought to you by verse 15. It's called The Power of Faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is an undercurrent of everything we do as followers of Jesus. Without faith, we lose all that Christ died to give us while we're here on earth. It is by faith we access the peace, joy, guidance, love, and purpose that comes from a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. So as we seek an increase in faith in response to God's faithfulness this week, may you experience a greater depth of intimacy with your living, almighty, and loving Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit loves to move with power in response to faith. Hebrews chapter 11, 30 tells us, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 and 33 says, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped by the mouth of the lions. So as we conclude this week on living by faith, I believe God will fill us with a fresh revelation of his power. Let's open our hearts and minds to receive all that God will reveal to us about his power and invite him to work in our midst and faith today. We serve the Creator of all. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is heaven's and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. And throughout Scripture, we see God using his power in response to faith of his people, whether it be in walls of Jericho tumbling down into the rubble of the lame man, or at the temple's gate called Beautiful jumping to his feet. God clearly moves in powerful ways when his people live by faith. Jesus even promises in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So if we have the smallest amount of faith, Jesus says, nothing will be impossible for us. The God who formed every mountain, valley, river, ocean in person and has told you that he will fight on your behalf is in response to your faith. David was an incredible example of a child of God, filled with the faith and powerful work of God. David was constantly in need of God's help. From stepping up to slay Goliath in faith and escaping pursuers, he exemplified what it was to live constantly in the power of faith. David wrote in Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, where there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. So David knew the power of God when he asked for God's help. So great was his faith in God's ability and desire to come to his aid that he found rest and security in face of thousands of enemies. So you are a child of the Most High, all-powerful God. May your life be marked by the power of your faithful Heavenly Father. So meditate on the power of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, by the faith of the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. So where do you need the power of God in your life? Where do you need the help of your Heavenly Father? In faith, ask God to move mighty, specific ways. Come before your Heavenly Father boldly and ask him to make his reality, power, and love known in your life. There is no pride in living your life in line with God's word. It isn't haughty or selfish for you to have faith for God to work in your midst. God loves you and longs to help you. He has perfect plans to work in and through every circumstance in your life. So have faith in the love, mercy, and power of your God today. I highly suggest you to read Psalms chapter 3. It'll bring this devotion more into life for you. Amen. Now, let me ask you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that is okay. Because in a few moments, you will get a chance to know him. Okay? But let me ask you. Are you living a life, not knowing which way is up or down or where you're going in life? Okay, you can't stand it any longer. Maybe you're depressed, or maybe you have anxieties, or maybe you suffer from addictions such as the alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever it may be, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ can take it away. But in order for him to do so, guess what, folks? He's got to know you. Okay? If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So my question is, again, are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to get to know you? Excuse me. If so, please say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, yes, Chris from Kelly. What is your problem? understand this. Okay, unity is power. Okay, we should all get along with one another. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to play some music. Okay, and so here we go.
Thank you.
That time we get ready for Tony to come in and give us a Bible reading. Okay, it's going to be from Joshua 9. It's called the Deceptive Enemy. Okay, all right. We're just waiting on Tony to come in and he'll be here in just a few seconds. Okay.
Yeah. He's
out
of the way, I can come slide right in here.
All right, here he is.
So, hey everybody. Thank you for having me, like I said. In your cellars, your basements, your mama's attic, wherever. I'm here to share the word with you, the way it was written, the way it was meant to be spread. From the words of the Bible, through my lips, to your ears. Tonight we got Joshua 9 for you. I'm going to continue where we left off last night. And it came to pass when all the kings who were on the side of the Jordan in the hills and in the lowland and all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it. And they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they were craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provisions were dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" So they said to him, "From a very far country your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon king of the Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Asheroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. And now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins, which were filled when were new, and see, they are torn. And these garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Sherephiah, Beroth, Kirjath, Jearim, but the children of Israel did not attack them, because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation complained against the rulers. Then all the rulers said to all the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them." And the rulers said to them, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation, as the rulers had promised them." Then Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell near us? Now therefore you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were very much afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now here we are in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do by us." So he did to them, and he delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, so that they did not kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose even to this day. Now it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, and how they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like none of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Jahia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon. And it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." Therefore the five kings under the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us." So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth-horon, and struck them down as far as Ekzah and Mahadah. And it happened as they fled from Israel and were on the descent of Beth-horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Ezkah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. It is not written in the book of Shishar. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. All these kings and their land, and Joshua took one at a time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned, and all of Israel was with him to the camp of Gilgal. Amen. Now we're going to give you Psalms 35, 17, 18. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Amen. And then y'all know we like to get a little darker in life, and you can always find that in Proverbs. And tonight we've got, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. Amen. So I'm off again. Bless you all. I'm glad you let me in to your caves, your hovels, wherever it is you live. And let me share the word with you the way it was meant to be shared, the way it was written, and that's all I can do. So, amen.
Amen. What a passionate reading tonight.
I know, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
And I was getting ready to have all that discussion on chipping and things that you and Joe were having earlier. You know, they're chipping people in Sweden already.
Yes, I know. Yes. All righty. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the Bible reading for tonight. Okay, it was a very passionate reading. Okay, that Tony did. Amen. And I'm grateful for Tony that he reads so eloquently. Alrighty. Well, tomorrow we'll be back with Joshua chapter 11. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's play a little bit more music here. Okay.
Just be with you, my Lord. Just be with you, my Lord. Just to be. Times you said to forgive, but what about 70 times 8? Made another mistake, one I've made over and over and over and over, and all the unworthy sacrifices I give to you, you don't see. All the raising up of hand for my soul dance to the beat of Satan's drum, and all this iniquity in my soul, all the strife causing death, it's getting cold, but I look and see the light. It was dark. The darkness and I fully overcome. Battles have been defeated before you have won, and I feel like my sin is so black, but there's not enough black for it to swallow up the sun and steal away its light. Its rays will never stop their shine, unless the command is breathed from the mouth of God. So I stand here, in all my fear and in all my questions, without a doubt that you live. Because you live, life is. It's for today, I live today, and tomorrow, and the next. And it's most of the dust of us and gold. I am living. My heart beating, lungs breathing, I am alive. And that is the truth. And that is the meaning. I felt so much energy trying to tell me that I need to do more. I need to do less. I need to do all the duties and keep on pursuing them. Pursuing what? I had no clear. I knew it had something to do with you, but no clear vision, no hint of spark. All this dark, but I stopped becoming afraid of the silence of the night all around. Look up, I see nothing but the beauty of the world. I am alive, my hands against the galaxy, and rested in them within me. This is all yours, and we are all yours, and I am all yours, and I am all yours, and this is all yours, and I am all yours, and we are all yours. Thank you. even in the dead of night, when everything else gets quiet, I feel your hand holding mine. In the shadows, in the valleys of my soul, even though I'm by your side, if you just keep on loving me, keep on holding me. You just keep on looking straight at me, saying please don't die. So my whole heart, I let you see, show you things nobody ever knew. Does I feel no shame when I'm in front of you?
Peanut butter and jelly. Sit back and enjoy.
Thank you.
God be blessed the soul of a little boy in church a short while ago. As a preacher read the scripture of how God can save and heal, he began to feel the spirit and the presence of God in his little soul. He couldn't explain what was happening to him. And all he knew that it was something wrong and something wonderful. And after service, he walked up and gave the preacher his hand. And told him, through your message, my soul was really blessed today. Now later when he got home, still feeling good from the service, he told his mother, he said, "Mother, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry right now." She said, "Son, come into the kitchen, and I'll fix you a sandwich." She reached in the cabinet and took out the peanut butter and jelly. She said, "Mother, you really don't understand. What is it, son? What is it that I don't understand?" He said, "Mother, what you don't understand is this right here." He told her,
of the night as a prophetic word. The Father says today, put your trust in me and not your woundedness. Life has conspired to teach you some things and disappointments in the past would compel you to say, I will never do that or trust this situation again. I say to you that when those thoughts and strongholds erect themselves in your mind, that they are litigating against my very lordship in your life. The lessons of wounding and past hurts will only take you so far, my beloved. Set aside those fractured judgments and know that while it's true, man is not trustworthy in all things. I am ever with you, assuring you an outcome of peace and full blessing where only bitter regret was once lodged in your inner man and your personal history. This is what beauty from ashes is all about, dear one. I take the dust and refuse of the past things and so work in your life to exert my command and my grace over you to bring highest heart's desire and greatest dream fulfilled on the very ground where you buried your hopes and extinguished your dreams. Do you trust me? Then let me take it from here. Make a decision to go where I lead and accept that even though through challenges come, it looks like you are going to get hurt once again, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And I will never relent until my perfect plan is brought about the full manifestation of life and life more abundantly in your situation. Amen. Well, like I said, this prophetic word goes out to those who need it most. And you know who you are. So, I hope this word was a blessing to you. Well, we got a caller. Let me find out who it is. Hello?
Hello, how are you doing? How you doing?
Who is this?
This is Linda. Linda Carter.
Okay, Linda.
Coming from Georgia.
All right.
How you doing, Pastor Ken? How you doing,
I'm
Pastor?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly flavored.
Well, that's good. That's great.
I just called to say how they do, and do you like grits?
Do I like grits?
Yes, sir.
I'm not really a big fan of grits, but I have eaten them on occasion.
Oh, okay. You know how you eat them, Craig? You gotta put some sugar in it. Make it good.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yeah, a little sugar and grits goes good.
Yeah. Do you know a person by the name of Rico? Rico? Do you know a person by the name of Rico?
Say what now?
Do you know a person by the name of Rico?
No.
Rico Rapsido Martini? You don't know who that is?
Yeah. His name's
Rico. Rico.
Rico,
From Rapsido Martini. Yeah, he's a good singer, good guitar player. We invited him one time to play in our church. And boy, he blessed us with everything, and he even had his boyfriend Alfonso. He gave a testimony. It was good. In our church here is we don't discriminate against sexuality. You know, Jesus loves everybody.
Yeah. Well, we don't discriminate against homosexuality here.
That's so good, you know, because my son is in love with his puppy, and he said that when his puppy get big, he want to get married with the puppy too, and we don't discriminate against that.
I don't discriminate against anything, okay? I believe everybody should live and let live and be in unity with one another.
Yeah, because I think, you know, because I heard, I don't know this too, but I heard that you were in love with a horse.
No, thank you very much. Okay. Whatever this was, God bless you, and have a blessed day. Okay, and bye bye. Okay, I'm gonna play a song that's gonna take us out. Okay, and because this is our end of our show. Okay, so here we go. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for callers that called in. Thanks for those listening on the link. Thanks for those listening in the chat room. May you all have a blessed night tonight. And see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Good night, all. Bye-bye.